present with you. I believe if you got a bulletin on the way in, I'd invite you to follow along. I'm really excited to share this with you today. It has been really good for me, and I trust that it will yield some fruit in your life as well. I want to begin with this question. By the way, we're in our series, And Now. We've been there since the beginning of the year, actually. And the And Now series, we're looking at basically this topic for the last few weeks, Above the Line. Today's message title is right there, Above the Line, Outside, Inside, Upside, and Downside. Explain that to you in the course of the message. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. I want to begin with this question. What does it look like then? We've been talking about this above the line life. What does it look like to live above the line? And what I've found in my life in the study of the scriptures is that they are very clear in answering that. Very, very clear. And we're going to go to Ephesians 5 and take a look at a very compelling, a very motivating, a very exciting passage that literally describes when we are bolstered and sustained above the line by the presence and power of the Spirit of God. What does that look like? That's what we're looking at today. Our key verse is a familiar one for most of you. It's Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. And I'm just going to read it to you because it's blocked off by the cross here. But therefore, we read, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. A couple things there. Foolish, the word, I can't remember the exact Greek term, but it means stupid or, what was the other? I can't remember the other synonymous word. But Paul, it literally is defined as being ignorant of something, stupid about something. So he says, don't be foolish, but understand. The word there is suniami, and it means you got to put it together. There's thought involved in this. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Say, be filled with me. Be filled. That's the verb we're going to focus on today and what that means. Now, when you look at the verb tense of that passage, if you did a little in-depth study there, when it says be filled, that verb, be filled with the Spirit, it's really this phrase, and you've heard me talk about this before. Be filled with the Spirit whenever it is now. Say that with me. Whenever it is now. Whenever it is now. It is an ongoing present tense. I've referred to that before as the present time Christ consciousness. You know where you're at in Him, what you're about in Him at each moment. Your past, you cannot change that. Your future is uncertain, but you are in this moment right now, and life really is just a collection of those moments strung close, strung together. When is it now? Now, and now that's past. Now you got a different now. And so the idea is that our minds and our hearts are in the presence of Jesus Christ and that realization in this moment. Listen, if you are going to change anything in your life, it can't start tomorrow. It starts now. Believe me, I have told myself for years, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to start working out tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to start eating right tomorrow. And then it gets to be Monday, and you blow Monday, and then I think to myself, I'm not going to start on Tuesday. I'll start next Monday. And it just never gets there because you live life in the now. I love this quotation. I don't know who said it, but it goes like this. You'll never be in your future what you aren't becoming today. Isn't that good? You will never be in your future what you aren't becoming today. Now, before we dig into this passage, I want to remind you of a teaching model in regards to the soul of man. All right, and I want to do this. It involves all this stuff here. So watch closely. No, I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't put you through that. This circle represent your soul. This hula hoop. The soul is a mixture of three things, if you will. Your mind, your emotions, and your will. Your mind, emotion, and will. The mind is your thinker. When I teach this to children, that's the word I focus on. Your mind is your thinker. The emotion is your feeler within the soul. And the will is your chooser. The will being the capacity to make moral or even immoral choices. Those three things kind of mix and mingle within every person's soul. They think about things, they're passionate about things, and they choose things. And that comes out in life. Now, the Bible speaks a great deal also, and I remember this when I first started using this model. It really helped me out a lot. But the question then hit me, yeah, but what about the heart? Because the Bible speaks so often about the heart. How does that relate to these? So I kind of dug into that a little bit. And the heart, cardia in the Greek, is defined, if you look it up in Strong's, it's the thoughts or and feelings together. So these two together, the thinker and the feeler, right here, make up what the Bible refers to as the heart. And these two together, the thinker and the feeler, they dictate the will, the moral choices that we make. The will expresses itself then through the body. So the heart, the mind, and the emotion, what you think and feel about things, dictate to the will. The will makes the choice of how you're going to respond or react to it. And out of that will, you live out of the soul through the vehicle of your body into the world as an influence. The will expresses itself through the body, its speech and its action. So that's how we influence the world around us, starting in the heart, proceeding through the will, and exercised through the vehicle of the body. And that's why Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, above all else, most important thing. Isn't that what above all else means? What's that mean? The most important thing. This is the primary thing. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard what you think and feel. For it's the wellspring of life. Now, of course, the soul, represented by our hula hoop red circle there, was made by God as a house, so to speak, for the Spirit of God to live in. You ever thought of yourself that way? My purpose is for God to live in and through me. For me to have that intimate of fellowship with Him, to commune with us at the deepest core of who we are. That's our purpose. We were made to think the thoughts of God, therefore. We are made to be passionate, emotionally charged, and zealous about the things of God, and to live out into the world according to the will of God. This, folks, is what it means to be saved, to be born of the Spirit, to be born again. It's when God forgives, and the Spirit therefore enters into the soul, giving life to our spirit for the first time. Until that happens, you're not saved, right? Salvation is life. It's eternal life. And that doesn't mean just you go to heaven when you die. That means the life of God in you by the presence of His Spirit. He is the dunamis, the dynamic of the presence of God in and through you. But you see, until we repent and believe on the cross of Christ, our sin separates us from God. We were spiritually dead in Him, as Ephesians 2:1 says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Spiritual death is the soul apart from the indwelling Spirit of God. And Romans 8 speaks very distinctly of that. And if there are any present here today who are unsaved, still dead in your transgressions and sins, then you are empty of soul. And that restlessness that you feel, that sense of emptiness and loneliness that gnaws at you when you are in the stillness, and that sense of there has to be more, something more than this, that is your soul crying out for God. And if you feel that as a professing Christian, that's the same thing. It's your soul crying out to draw nearer to the one who gives life. You were made for him to love you and for you to love him back. You were made a worshiper, made to worship God. And that is why you worship. Some people worship their job. Some people worship their hobbies. Some people worship their stuff. Some people worship their boyfriend or their girlfriend or their spouse or their children, whatever. Everybody worships because we're made that way. Our minds and our emotions focus like a laser on something. We think about something predominantly, and we are passionate about something predominantly, and that is the stuff of worship right there. It comes right out of the heart. And when we worship that which is not God, we simply add layer after layer of pain and misery and damage upon that which is already there. There is a God-shaped hole in your soul that can only be filled by him, and that is the Spirit of Christ. And until that surrender is made to the gospel of Christ, your soul, I'm telling you, it's just a wandering blind ball of misguided thoughts and reactive emotions and confused, willful choices. Your soul is kind of like a boat being tossed upon the sea of life, and you have no anchor to hold you fast. And what do you do about that dead sort of condition? Well, first you cry about it. Some people just deny it, and they just keep going one step in front of the other. First, cry. Your sorrow is real. But don't stop there. Cry out to God. God made a way to provide forgiveness and presence. God, forgive me. God, I receive the free gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life through him. I believe he died in my place. I believe he rose from my grave. Forgive me, God. Cleanse me. I receive the Spirit of Jesus to renew my thinker, to renew my feeler, and to renew my choices so that I can live out into this world as an influence for you. God, I own your grace. Ownership. I am graced. God, I accept my new identity as a loved child of God. Acceptance. I am new. And God, I respond as an influence, a voice for your message and for your kingdom. Responsibility. I am influential. And I don't care what anybody thinks about that, but you, God. That is the beginning of above the line living. Amen to that. Any amens out there? Amen. All right, praise God. So, back to my question. That was just a little build the model, the soul model thing. Talk a little bit about that. What does this being filled with the Spirit whenever it is now look like? That's the question we started with. That's what we're going to answer right now. What does living above the line, in other words, look like? Listen, we only need to look at the next three verses in Ephesians 5, because the next three verses, and here's how it kind of works in the Greek language oftentimes, the next three verses contain four participial verbs. It seems like it's telling you, it's one of those passages, do this and do this and do this and do this, and you go, man, slow down, Paul. No, there's organization to this. There's just meat here, okay? There's four participial verbs, and what that means is these four verbs modify, explain, and point back to the main verb. And the main verb is be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't get drunk on wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the main verb. That's the operating verb. These four point to that and describe it for you. It's in Ephesians 5, the following verse, 19 to 21. I'm going to read that passage, and I want you to pay real close attention. You tell me what the verbs are in here. You'll be able to pick them right out. You ready? Here we go. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You tell me, what are the four verbs that describe being filled, what are they? Speak. That's number one. Sing. What's the third one? Give thanks. What's the fourth one? Submit. There you have it. Those four things describe, modify what your life and mine will look like when we're walking around on this crust of this planet being filled with the Holy Spirit in the now, whenever it's now. And what I want to give to you today is just, I hope, a way that you can remember this, all right? That it just kind of stands out to you so you really understand Ephesians 5, this passage, and you can take it with you for the rest of your life. One of those verbs, I'm going to describe it this way, is on the outside. One of these verbs is on the inside. One of these verbs is on the upside, and the other is on the downside. Let's go through them one at a time. First of all, on the outside, what does it look like to live above the line, filled with the Spirit, whenever it's now? Well, on the outside of your soul, coming through this avenue, you will be one who speaks truth. The indwelling presence of the Spirit of God will bring you above the line in this way. Listen to it. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Notice there's a sense of music and singing to this speech. I think that describes the attitude, the joy, and the zeal with which we speak truth when we are above the line with the Spirit of Christ. There's a sense of joyful proclamation here. Do you hear it? We speak because we know that we got something people need to hear about. We don't talk to hide the truth about us. We don't talk to destroy or to discourage other people. We don't talk to lift up or protect ourselves. We don't talk to get attention. See, in Christ, if you know Him today, you are the euangelistes. You are the messengers of the euangelion, the gospel. And we care about other people because of the gospel, because we know Christ cares about them. God cares about them. And we listen to others. We listen to their hurts, their sorrows, their thoughts, their belief system, their worldview, because of the gospel. We share our transformation because of the gospel. We share the good news of Christ because it is the gospel. We have something to say in life and in word that literally we know that everybody needs to have a chance to hear. We speak truth on the outside. That's one characteristic of above the line living, being filled with the Spirit whenever it is now. There's a lot of reasons we open our mouths, isn't there? When you're filled with the Spirit, that's going to be the primary one. Speaking truth on the outside. Next part of the verse, inside. When you're filled with the Spirit, whenever it is now, on the outside, you speak truth. On the inside, you sing praise. You sing praise. Verse 20, always giving, wait, verse, where are we at? 19b, I think it is, yeah. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Folks, this is stuff of worship here. You know that song, In My Heart? In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a, come on, sing it with me, with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. Than ever was a sweeter melody. 'Tis the melody of love. Somebody wrote that. out of that right there. Whoever wrote that, I didn't do the history on it, who wrote it or something, but they understood Ephesians 5, and that's what was going on. The Spirit of God gave them a joy, and they wrote it down in poetry, and they made it into a song that we all know and sing. And sometimes we sing it, I have a song that he gave me. See, I bet you the author of that hymn didn't write it that way. See, when you know Christ, folks, you know hope. This world is not hopeless and empty. It's not. Jesus entered into this world to give redemption and hope. Hope is a powerful, powerful thing. Romans 5 says, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Amen. We sing praise on the inside. That's the second characteristic of above-the-line living, being filled with the Spirit whenever it's now. So we speak truth on the outside, and we sing praise on the inside. And that singing praise on the inside comes out of the soul in how we speak. Because your attitude at school, kids, wherever you're at, your attitude at home with your parents or with your siblings is just the aroma of your soul. I hope your soul smells good. I hope your attitude is good. If you're bickering and complaining and, you know, everybody else is to blame for everything, that below the line kind of stuff, blame, denial, and excuses, that does not come from the Spirit of Christ within you. And just be quite frank with it. Our souls stink when they're like that. You can smell it a mile away. We sing praise on the inside, and it comes out as we speak truth on the outside. Awesome stuff. Then there's verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have the upside. What's the upside? We give thanks to God. For what? It says everything, doesn't it? We give thanks for everything. We have such a love and a trust in Christ who fills us up to overflowing. We have such a mission, a purpose as we speak, such a song inside as we sing. All this grace, charis in the Greek, charis from God, and his presence living in my soul just kind of wells upward in thanksgiving, which is eucharistia. You got charis is grace, and you got eucharistia is thanksgiving. Grace is the foundation for joy and thanksgiving. Listen, the world thinks that happiness comes when every duck around them is in a row. And our flesh thinks that too, doesn't it? We think that's what happiness is. All our relational ducks are in a row. All our stuffed ducks are in a row. Stuffed ducks. That's kind of cool, isn't it? When everything is good out there around me, when I have my comfort is there, baby, and when I have my covetousness satiated, in other words, I have what I want and when I want it, and when I'm in control of other people and circumstances, comfort, covetousness, and control, 1 John 2:15, all that stuff. See, the world believes when that is fulfilled, they'll finally be happy. But they're wrong. They're deceived. Happiness comes where? From the inside. Only when you're in the Spirit, in the now. It's when you're feeding your soul on Jesus Christ and his word, Spirit revealed. And when you are full up on the inside, then you can give thanks in everything, it says here, because you have ceased to look around you for your happiness. By the way, you will never be comfortable enough. You will never get enough stuff to be happy. You know that from when you were a little kid at Christmas time. You got what you wanted, and a week later you couldn't find it, didn't care, or you broke it, and you wanted something else. It's just how we are. We never get over that, by the way. Our flesh never gets over that. It's just instead of basketballs or miniature trains, it becomes real trains and cars and boats and stuff when we get older. You never get enough stuff to be happy. And you'll never be satisfied with the level of control that you have, especially if you're married, okay? It's a lie. Don't believe the lie. John 6:63, Jesus, after this tremendous monologue about their need for him, he needed to be their bread and their drink and all that, he said, the Spirit gives life in John 6:63. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Giving thanks on the upside. So what does it look like when you and I walk around on this planet filled in the present now sense, present time Christ conscious, with the Spirit of Christ? Well, it looks like speaking truth on the outside. It looks like an attitude singing praise on the inside and a lot of thanksgiving on the upside, giving thanks on the upside. And last, we got the downside. And I think you'll see what this is about. You probably already do. On the downside, what does it look like to live above the line? Well, in your relationships, you see a lot of humility and submission. You submit humbly. Verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that, by the way, you people that are in the Meaning of Marriage Sunday School class, which is awesome, by the way, you all need to be there. It's not too late. Come join us. Because it's one of the best books I think I've ever read. This guy unpacks the truth of Scripture in such a great way, and our discussions have been really good, especially when I'm not talking. But it's really good stuff. So, and that is the topic sentence. Verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, joins this whole part of Paul saying you got to be filled with the Spirit whenever it is now, to the truth about marriage and relationships. It puts them both together. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, when we get our back up about somebody else, it often comes out, it sounds like this. Well, I'm not going to do that. That person, fill in the blank. What are we looking for in that? We're looking for the other person's fault in that. Verse 21 says submit. Why? Why does it say we should do that? What's the motivation? Out of reverence for Christ. You submit to one another because you are all caught up with the awesomeness of Jesus Christ. If the other person is fraught with sin, guess what? God can sort that out without your help. You can speak the truth in love, gently, humbly, submit. You can do all that stuff. It doesn't mean you're a doormat. You can speak the truth in love and gently and humbly. But you can leave the soul of that other person in God's hands. Listen to what Hebrews 13:17 says. Hebrews 13 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men, what? What's his phrase? Who must give account. To who? To you? What's he talking about there? To God. God's got this. When Paul wrote in Romans 13, I believe it is, about submitting to authorities, Nero was the emperor of Rome. You can't get any creepier than that. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. We live in a nation of people who have bosses at work, and it seems like the goal of the workers is to make the boss miserable. Is to get as much as they can for as little as they can give. And that's really sad. Well, here's our opportunity. As believers, we can go out into the midst of that. Your boss may be a jerk. That's fine. But if your attitude in that situation is, I am going to make my boss look good. I'm going to make him successful at what he does. I'm going to be an encouragement in that place amongst the negativity. I'm going to be in the Spirit whenever it's now, in and amongst these people that are out there just drifting along, self-centeredness. And all that flows out of a stinky soul like that. What a testimony that you can submit to a boss even if he's not worthy of your respect. Listen, if you're critical, complaining, a pain in your boss's backside, if you only speak to those over you when you got a problem with them, are you a joy or are you a burden at your workplace? Listen, be a blessing. Be an encouragement. Be positive. Avoid the mocker. The guy that wants as much out of someone for as little as he can give. That's just not Jesus. That's not above the line living. That's way below the line. It's not the attitude and the character of Christ. And if you're filled with the Spirit, whenever it is now, that will transform your attitude and your actions toward those in authority over you. And I'm talking not just about your workplace. I'm talking about your teachers, your principals, anybody. I just love this passage. I don't know about you guys, but it went just to talk about it, just to, wow. It just really, thank you, Lord, for this stuff. It's so clear. So what does it look like to live above the line? Well, we've talked about this in the past. We've defined above the line as ownership. I'm graced. I own that. I own the grace of God to forgive me. I own the grace of God to empower me. Acceptance. I am new. I have a new identity. My past doesn't have to be what's made me. And I am, and responsibility, I am influential. Your response is your responsibility. What does that look like? Well, it looks like this, being filled with the Spirit whenever it's now. That looks on the outside, speak the truth. That looks like on the inside, an attitude of singing praises. That looks like on the upside, giving thanks to God for everything. And that looks like on the downside, submit humbly to those in authority over you. Listen, when you're filled with the Spirit of Jesus now, these things will be your thoughts, your mind, your passions, your emotions, and thus your heart. And your heart will form your will, your choices, and you will influence this world by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit filling you. That is above the line living in 2016. And I say, let's be that. Not tomorrow. Right now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit and the promise of your presence. Jesus said, it's good. He told his disciples, it's good that I go. Just before the cross, he said this. It's good that I go. Why? Because if I don't go, the counselor, the paraclete, isn't going to come. That's a profound statement. Jesus was saying, it is better for you that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, indwells you from the inside than it is for you guys to be walking around with me physically present on the outside. It's astounding. Lord, we have your divine nature within us. 2 Peter 1:3 says, I think it's 2 Peter, might be 1st. You've given us your divine nature, the fruit of the Spirit. Father, may we be filled with your Spirit. May we understand that it is in this moment, every moment that passes, that we are not present time conscious of who you are and what you've done for us, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of your presence within us. That is a moment wasted to eternity. But when we walk around in the present time Christ consciousness and we are filled with your Spirit, these things are going to be ours. They're going to be what we become as we learn more and more of who you are, as we fellowship more and more and get to know you better and love you more. Father, help us to see the depth of this as opposed to the shallowness of the desires of our flesh. May we desire you so that we can become above the line people, owning your grace, accepting our identity, and responding as salt and light influencers for Jesus Christ. So that one day when we stand in your presence and sin is no more about us, around us, within us, and you give us rewards that really you accomplished by your Spirit within us, look forward to the time when we can receive those and just give them to Jesus Christ, who receives all, who is worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise for anything good that comes out of our lives because it's from your Spirit. Anything selfless. belongs to you, Lord. We thank you and praise you for the hope we have in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.